Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and for the next 25 minutes, Rabbi Schneider will shed some light on messianic prophecy. For thousands of years, people all over the world have been awaiting the arrival of the Messiah. Believers say he's arrived and will come again, yet others, they're still waiting. So why is there so much turmoil and confusion over his identity? Well, Rabbi Schneider is going to answer that question as he dives into the Old Testament book of Isaiah. To download Rabbi's study guide for this message, visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com. But now with our message, Understanding the Messiah through the Old Testament, here is Rabbi Schneider.
I'm really drilling down on the nature of messianic prophecy, and I really endeavor to help you understand that many people's view of messianic prophecy is that there's all these predictions in the Old Testament or the Tanakh of what Jesus would do. And I've really gone a long way to help show you that when the New Testament writers use the Hebrew Bible in such a way that they say Jesus fulfilled it, they're not always talking about Jesus fulfilling future predictions. The New Testament writers' view of messianic prophecy is much broader than that. The New Testament writers use messianic prophecy not just to show how Yeshua fulfilled predictive prophecies, meaning prophecies that were very specifically about how the Messiah in the future would fulfill this particular scenario or event. But the New Testament writers often use the Old Testament or the Tanakh in a way that they say Yeshua fulfilled it, in the sense that Yeshua filled it full with meaning. Moses talked about the fact that the Lord was going to raise up from amongst Israel a prophet like himself, and anybody that did not listen to this prophet would be cut off. Now that's predictive. That's very, very predictive. Moses said the Lord's going to raise up from among Israel a prophet like me. That's predictive. It's something that's going to happen in the future. And the Lord said, and he that does not listen to this prophet will be cut off. Very scientific. That could be mathematically and scientifically measured. And Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. In fact, in the book of Acts, Peter actually quotes the scripture that I just referred to from the book of Devarim or the book of Deuteronomy and saying, this Yeshua, this Jesus fulfilled this prophecy that Moses spoke of. Predictive prophecy, scientifically measured. Yeshua came, he lived, and he did exactly what Moses said he would do. But much of the way the New Testament writers use prophecy is in a more general sense. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 is quoted by Matthew. Matthew said Jesus fulfilled Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 says, out of Egypt did I call my son. But when the Lord gave that word to Hosea, it wasn't a prediction. In fact, what God was doing was talking through Hosea about what he already did. God had already called his people Israel out of Egypt hundreds of years before Hosea spoke that. So that was not a predictive prophecy. In fact, it doesn't even appear on the surface that it was a prophecy at all. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, Hosea speaking, he records for us the Lord saying, out of Egypt did I call my son. Now, when you hear a prophecy, once again, many of you think of a future prediction. But Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, even in the original historical context in Hosea, was not a prediction of the future. Rather, God was simply saying to Hosea, I called Israel out of Egypt hundreds of years ago. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Yet Matthew quotes that scripture and says Jesus fulfilled it. Well, what's going on? First of all, it doesn't even look like a prophecy in the sense of most people's understanding of prophecy, because most people, when they think of a prophecy, they're thinking about a future prediction. Not only is it not predictive in nature, but even beyond that, Hosea was recording something that already happened. And yet Matthew quotes it and says Jesus fulfilled it. What's going on there? How can that be? Well, what is happening, beloved ones, is that the New Testament writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, understand that the entire Tanakh, the entire Hebrew Bible, is ultimately about Yeshua. Yeshua is the aim of all the scriptures. This is why the Bible tells us in the book of Luke that Yeshua took his disciples on a journey through the prophets, the law of Moses, and he showed them all the things contained in those scriptures that ultimately pointed to him. At first reading, when the disciples read the law of Moses and the prophets, they didn't even realize that much of it was prophetic. But then Yeshua showed them, listen, this story about Joseph, it ultimately pointed to me. This story about Moses, it ultimately pointed to me. The entire Hebrew Bible finds its end in Yeshua. Let me tell you why I'm so sensitive to this. Myself as a Jewish person, most of you know I'm Jewish, born Jewish, raised Jewish, bar mitzvah in a conservative synagogue. I'm a Jewish believer in Yeshua. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. And as a Jew, I am by and large rejected by the Jewish world. Did you know, beloved ones, that in general, the Jewish world says to me, you're not even Jewish anymore. You're not Jewish anymore because you switched to another religion. It's just a biased mindset that says within Judaism, you can't stay a Jew and believe in Jesus. To show you how serious this is, as a Jewish person, born Jewish, raised Jewish, 100% Ashkenazi Jew, my ancestors are from Europe, I cannot even become a citizen in Israel because I believe in Jesus. So I'm very sensitive to this because all of the blowback and pushback I get from the Jewish world. They tell me that you can't be a Jew and believe in Jesus because they say Jesus is not, they say, the Jewish Messiah. I stake my life on the fact that Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world, that he was raised from the dead and he is God's only means to salvation. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this, who was one of the leading Jews of his day, educated under the leading Jewish sage of his day, Gamaliel. Paul said this, if Yeshua has not been raised from the dead, then you and I are the biggest fools in the earth for believing something and giving our life to something that isn't even true. And Paul said beyond that, if Yeshua hasn't been raised from the dead, not only are we fools for following a fairy tale, but he said even worse than that, we're liars. Because we're telling people in the world that God did something that he didn't do if, in fact, God has not raised Yeshua from the dead. But God has raised Jesus from the dead, and he is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. And yet, my message is rejected by the Jewish people, by and large, just like Yeshua was rejected by his people, by and large, when he came. The Bible says of Yeshua in the Gospel of John, he came unto his own, meaning Israel, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So, here's the point. The point is, as a Jewish person, when I begin to talk about Jesus to my Jewish brethren, especially to rabbis, immediately they just want to slam me down to the ground. They tell me that you're using these scriptures and these prophecies out of context, that you're saying that Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. Look, you're saying that Jesus fulfilled Hosea 11:1. That is even a prophecy. How can you say that Jesus fulfilled it? It was never even a prophecy to begin with. So what traditional rabbis say is that the way the New Testament writers use the Hebrew Bible in the way they say Jesus fulfilled that they say, listen now, is a misuse of Scripture. What they say we're doing is we're taking a Scripture out of context and we're giving it a whole new meaning, which was never intended by the original author in the Hebrew Bible.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's seven annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. To become a blessing in someone's life today, get in touch to partner with us. Our mission is to prepare the world for Jesus' return, and your financial gift is channeled directly toward this worthy cause. Take your first step today by calling 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Your contribution will equip others for Messiah's return. And now here is Rabbi Schneider with the rest of today's message.
I'm going now to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, verse 8 and 9. Hear the word of God. Isaiah speaking. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand." So what is going on here is that Isaiah is receiving his call from ministry to the Lord. The Lord says to Isaiah, "Who shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Send me." And the Lord says, "Go." He says, "I'm going to send you, and they're going to keep on listening, but they're not going to perceive. They're going to look, but they're not going to understand." And so what happens? This scripture that was originally just simply a word that was given to Isaiah by the Lord, when God called Isaiah, Yeshua now uses that same scripture from Isaiah, and he applies it to himself. And he says that in himself, Jesus said, it's been fulfilled. When people see the New Testament writers say Jesus fulfilled it, they're thinking, oh, he must have fulfilled some type of prediction from the Old Testament. But that's not the way the New Testament writers oftentimes use prophecy. They don't mean it that Jesus fulfilled a future prediction, but that Jesus filled it up with meaning. And the next question we need to ask ourselves is, did then the New Testament writers misuse the scriptures? Here's what Jesus did. We're going now to Jesus' use of this same scripture. In Matthew 13, verse 13, Yeshua says, "Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy," get that, "in their case," Yeshua said, "the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive.'" So what is Yeshua doing? Yeshua is taking the prophetic word that the Lord gave to Isaiah concerning what would happen in Isaiah's ministry. And Yeshua now says, now it's being fulfilled in my ministry as well. And so once again, beloved, I want you to just get the big picture, because you may at some point in your life quote a messianic prophecy to a Jewish person and they would say to you, "Well, you know, your New Testament says that Jesus fulfilled that. But if you look at that scripture in the Hebrew Bible, that's not what it was talking about at all. It wasn't talking about a Messiah. It was just talking about Isaiah." But if you understand the playing field and the types of issues that we deal with, it's called apologetics in our endeavor to defend the faith, then you'll be much better prepared to know an objection that you might end up getting. Of course, the question at this point now becomes, when the New Testament writers took scriptures from the Old Testament and applied them to Yeshua in a way that was never understood by the original writer in the Hebrew Bible, in other words, when Isaiah recorded this verse about himself, he probably had no understanding that this scripture would ultimately be applied to himself by Yeshua. In other words, when Isaiah originally wrote this down, he didn't realize that Yeshua is going to be quoting that scripture and applying it to himself. And so somebody might say, "Well, you're taking a scripture and you're turning it and giving it a completely different meaning. You're pulling it out of context and then applying it to Yeshua." That is not an honest use, that someone might say, of prophecy. But beloved, first of all, It is a totally honest use of prophecy because the writers of the New Testament were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if Yeshua is the Messiah, which he absolutely is, then the New Testament writers have the right to take any scripture and apply it to him because the entire aim of the Hebrew Bible finds its climactic fulfillment in the Messiah. But let me go a step further. When I, for example, as a Jewish person, encounter a traditional rabbi that says to me, you are misusing scripture because you're taking scriptures from the Hebrew Bible out of context and applying them to Yeshua. For example, at the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, where Isaiah receives a prophetic word, the virgin will conceive and bring forth a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Of course, we use that in a big way in the New Testament. What a traditional rabbi would say is that you are totally misusing that scripture because that scripture that was given to Isaiah, behold, the virgin will conceive and bring forth a child, or they would say the word that we translate in the New Testament as virgin, which is in the Hebrew Alma, does not necessarily mean a virgin, but it means a young woman of childbearing age. They would say you're totally twisting that. Because number one, they would say it doesn't necessarily mean a virgin. And they would say, number two, that that scripture was not about the Messiah. It was about Isaiah's wife going to have a child. They say it wasn't a messianic prophecy. You guys are taking it and applying it out of context. But here's what I need you to understand. That is a totally unfounded accusation. Because of the fact, when we study Judaism, Judaism does the same exact thing, and they have done the same exact thing for 2,000 years, where they take a scripture that's given in the original context and was understood by the original hearers in one way, and then they take the scripture within rabbinic Judaism and they give it a totally different meaning than was originally intended or understood by the original audience. This is done in the Talmud, which is the major source that rabbis study as they're preparing for the rabbinate. They'll look at a verse in the Talmud, and the goal of the study is to give that verse as many creative interpretations as possible. And so you read all types of rabbinic literature where they're taking a verse out of the Talmud or out of the Torah, and they're giving a spin on it that's totally separated and divorced from its original meaning and intent. So to accuse me or us of taking a verse out of context and applying it to Jesus holds no weight at all, because Judaism has done this for thousands of years. In fact, it is the Jewish way. But ultimately, again, at the end of the day, in terms of accuracy, if Jesus is the Messiah, which I've staked my life on the fact that he is, and so have most of you, then we can use the scriptures that point to him and feel 100% confident and 100% convinced that we're using the scriptures accurately, because the point of the scriptures is to point, beloved, and to bring us to him. We're going to move forward in next time's broadcast. I'm going to cover some brand new material, but I just wanted to continue to lay that foundation today, because again, many of God's people did not really understand what the New Testament means when the New Testament writers used the word Jesus fulfilled the prophecy. They thought it was scientific prediction, but not all prophecy is scientific prediction that foretells the future. It's rather taking Israel's history, showing how Jesus took Israel's history, lived it out, embodied it in his own life, and thus filled it full with meaning or fulfilled it. Jesus said, my word is truth. Father, we thank you today for strengthening us with your word. Thank you, Father, for giving us a skeletal structure in the spirit. We can stand strong and stand full, that our life is founded and grounded in the truth. Father, we say, Baruch Hashem, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. We love your word, Father God. Your word is truth. We love you, King Jesus.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus and a message by Rabbi Schneider. You know, one of the coolest things about Scripture is that it's living and active. So we might read passages about messianic prophecies, like the one we talked about today, and walk away with more questions than answers. Or maybe God revealed something to you about the Old Testament that just clicked and it now makes total sense. God reveals things to us little by little in His own perfect timing, and that's why it's so important to be in His Word each and every day. And that's what these daily Bible studies, that's what they're all about. We want to help you grow in your walk and help you be clear about what God is calling you to do in your daily journey. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, that's the first step. We've got a variety of resources available to help you on this wonderful journey towards eternity. And all you have to do is visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And when you make a commitment to the King of Kings, to know Jesus, we want to hear from you. We have a couple of resources we'd like to send you for free as our way of saying welcome to the family. And if you're already a member of the Kingdom of God, then we'd love to partner with you and your family this year. Rabbi has been preparing us for the darker days and times ahead, and he couldn't do what he does without the prayerful support from friends just like you. And now let's turn our attention back to Rabbi.
I want to encourage us now to be honest with ourselves before the Lord. Many of us are aware of the fact that we've surrendered to Him in some areas of our life, but yet there are many areas of our life that perhaps we've not yet submitted to Him in. I remember when I was in school as a young boy, they gave us a microscope and they put something on a slide, and we looked at what was on that slide through the microscope. At first we saw nothing, but then when we adjusted the lens and turned up the power, suddenly we were able to see on that slide little organisms moving around. It took the amplification of the lens to be able to see it. Some of us right now are being convicted by the Holy Spirit in the area of our finances. He's turning up His power. He wants us to see that we need to surrender to the Lord and trust Him with our finances. Beloved, while we're on this earth, we have an opportunity to do good. And all of us should be sowing into the kingdom for the furtherance of the gospel. If you believe in this ministry, I want to encourage you, beloved, make an offering today. God will reward you for everything that you do.
To give a gift of any amount today, or if God is calling you to partner with us this year, then please get in touch with us right now. We've made it easy to give online when you visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And then don't forget, our Collective Action Weekend is coming up on July 28th through the 30th. Get your t-shirt today and join with believers all over the country who are standing up for righteousness and fighting back against the dark schemes of the enemy. To learn more, just visit us at our website, takingtherainbowback.com. Once again, that's takingtherainbowback.com. And now with a special blessing for us all, here is Rabbi Schneider once again.
The Aaronic blessing in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, is not a blessing that comes from an impersonal being out there somewhere in the heavens. This special blessing comes from a person, Yahweh, God Almighty, our Creator and Maker. So receive God's blessing into your life right now.
Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh panav elecha vihunecha Yisa Yahweh panav elecha ve'asem lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us again tomorrow when Rabbi Schneider continues this series on Messianic prophecy. That's coming up Friday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.